Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Good
Hi.
morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
No, it's good morning.
Is it?
8 minutes past morning.
Okay. Well, we've never really done an episode during the day, so this is
No.
different. With some technical issues that are finally fixed.
Finally, oh my God.
My computer hated me this week. It did not like me.
I'm telling you gotta clear your hard drive. You have so much stuff on it. Like, it's not even running at this point.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. We're Super
Welcome
Lovers
back.
Podcast. Welcome back. This is the third episode. I honestly thought we'd quit by now, I'm not gonna lie.
You know what? I always have a rule that if I can do something more than 3 times, it becomes a habit. Like, say if I went to the gym, I find myself always giving up on the third day. Like, that's it. Like, I've never seen myself go to the gym 4 days consecutively or four
Literally, that
times
was me
consecutively.
like 2 weeks ago, and then I stopped.
Exactly.
I
Like,
stopped though.
you went to the gym 3 times. It's that fourth time that makes it,
No, but it
you
was
know, like a
four
habit.
times. I went like every single day of the week, and somehow it did not become a habit because the next week I gave up.
Yeah, because you rushed into it. You gotta
I
like
was having a grand old time. I don't know what you I feel like I gained muscle in that week.
muscle.
Muscle.
Okay, so what we decided to talk about today is a very general and deep
I
topic,
feel like a lot of people, majority of
right?
people, can definitely relate to this and
And
definitely.
if what we talk about today does not sound like you, it's not like, oh my God, like I'm faking it or I don't have it, you know, different for everyone, you know.
And the topic of discussion today is dealing with anxiety. And it's nothing specific, but it's just anxiety as
I
a
feel like
whole.
we really could make like a multiple part series on this just because how broad it is.
Yeah.
But you know, if you guys don't like that, no, you know what? We're gonna do what we wanna do, okay? So screw you, audience. I'm kidding. Okay.
Be
But
nice to
okay,
our
so
lovely viewers. Come on.
anxiety can be in many different ways. You can project it onto others. You could project it onto yourself, right? Others may see it before you even see it yourself, vice versa. You might be really good at hiding it, or it might just be a mess, you know?
I wish the recorded version of this podcast could see my face right now. So, anyway, my face is the way it is because I never realized I had anxiety until somebody pointed it out and made me realize, like, and that one's gonna hit a little hard.
I feel like a lot of us don't realize that we have it just because of how it's portrayed by like the media or like more or less the general public, because they're kind of say like, oh, anxiety is like uncontrollable shaking, like you rocking back and forth. Like, yeah, maybe that's the case, but that's not the case for everyone, you know, show up in
No.
different ways.
Yeah, no. I know for me, when I feel anxious, I don't really necessarily, my whole body doesn't shake. Maybe like my arms will start to shake a little bit. I'll have like this tightness right here. But it usually, for me, I only get anxiety whenever my mom is like, even if it's like a cold, I get anxiety about that kind of stuff because, you know, trauma. And I never knew it was anxiety for the longest time. I didn't know what it was. I just thought, you know, I was just getting worked up because when it would happen, like it'd be something, you know, pretty big. But then when it was like small little things that didn't really matter, and I was like, why am I feeling this way over something? You know,
Yeah,
my
you
mom just has
still
a
like, yeah.
cold. Why am I freaking
Right?
out?
Yeah.
So, anxiety for me was something that I knew it existed, but I never thought I would deal with it or what I would have to, you know, experience it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how common it was for people to deal with anxiety because when I thought of anxiety, I thought of more social anxiety where it was kind of
Yeah, I
like a
feel like
constant thing.
that's one of them, I guess, not forms, but social anxiety is talked a lot about on social media and stuff like that. And yeah, it kind of, you know, how do I say this? It's not like creating this new connotation about how anxiety should be like, but when it's always consistently kind of showed in this one certain way, kind of, I don't know, just like makes people forget about the other ones. I don't know. That doesn't, I'm not wording it correctly.
No, but I understand what you're saying. I understand the point you're trying to get across.
Yeah,
I'm not
sorry,
gonna
I'm just like,
lie.
I'm sending something to the
I'm not
thingy.
gonna lie. I'm pretty exhausted and
You
tired.
know,
I'm not gonna lie, I procrastinate a lot too when it comes to getting stuff done. So now this is happening extremely, extremely last minute.
Yeah.
And yeah. Back to the anxiety topic though, before we
we can easily relate that, you know? Like, just as you have a fear of, you know, the people around you getting hurt, so, you know, that fear of failure and the fear of being overwhelmed. And that's why I think a lot of procrastinates, not because we're lazy or we don't want to do it, it's just because I think we're scared of success or we're scared of failing. And
I even think then, the failure part more than success.
I know, but like, I was reading on this like a couple days ago, there really is like this fear of success. Like for example, like you go out your first semester of university with like flying colors, like 3.8 GPA, like, you know, all your professors love you, you're doing a lot of like good shit, and you get into second semester and you're like, damn, I gotta uphold that same standard, you know? And like, even then, fear of success can very well tie in with the fear of failure, like, to obviously go hand in hand, which, you know, maybe is why procrastination happens to a lot of people. Like, even the best and the brightest, and maybe the ones, yeah, like the ones that are like, you know, not so bright. Nah, I'm kidding, everyone's not bright, so bright.
Yeah, I mean, I know for me, this, you know, I always want to do the best that I can, and I feel like grades and that kind of stuff, they affect the way that I see my success, because I see my success as I'm getting these amazing grades, and as soon as I don't, I feel like my work is not up to that standard, when in reality, if I show anybody else my work, they'll be like, oh my god, I can't believe you did this, this is so great. But to the teacher, it was bad. So it makes me more anxious to produce something again for that teacher, if that makes any sense.
I want to say though, for me, grades is like similar, you know, like that number very well does define who I am as a student, but I almost like catastrophize what happens after getting that grade. Like, say if I get like, I don't know, like a D on like a simple quiz, I'm like, yep, okay, that's it, like I should just drop out of school, like I'm not capable of doing anything, like, you know, like I can't go anywhere with this, like there's no way I can ever build up from this, it's gonna affect my entire life, you know? But at the end of the day, it was some fucking small quiz little quiz. Yeah, so like going into the next test, I'm gonna be like, no, I got a D on the last one. I'm sure it's all going to get the same mark on this one. So yeah. There's no even point in trying.
Yeah. The same for like, even though I'm in media production, like we have like little tests, little quizzes here and there, right? And just to, you know, test our knowledge. But for me, as much as I love to know the terminology, it's not always going to stick in my mind. But I know how to do each job. And I know where each terminology comes from, but I'm not going to remember the words exactly. I'm going to remember the principles and what I have to do to follow it.
You know what? That's so kind of similar to like, sorry, to like a math quiz. And you're like double checking on your calculator if like 1 + 2 = 3. You're like, I'm just going to make sure something didn't change overnight. They're like, oh my God.
That's why I don't do math, because I can't trust myself doing mental math. Like even at work, because I have to count tills, right? Even for the simplest, like I was teaching Duke, a new manager, like a newly promoted manager, how to count tills. And he was doing like the math in his head for a few cents, right? Because that you have to write that on the paper and whatever. I had to use the calculator because I didn't want to be wrong. And it was the simplest, like, oh, it was only negative 20 cents. And I still punched it into the calculator because I didn't want to mess up the money, because I don't trust my math at all. Not even close.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah. I'd say let's go into the more logistics of anxiety. So if you go on to any website nowadays, whether it be like Healthline, what are they, PubMed, what else?
WebMD.
Yeah, there we go. They're going to give you, I would say, like 6 general things to deal with anxiety. One, you got the physical activity. Because everyone says running is like a cure to happiness and to cure life. You know, you're winning at life if you're running, right? Yeah.
No.
You got avoid alcohol/drugs. Because any toxins can, you know, toxify your brain.
I have already failed. Next.
We always have the classic meditation/yoga.
Sometimes that works. I feel like, can you just admit that one works like 20% of the time?
I guess so. having a healthy sleeping pattern. Well, you can't really sleep if you have anxiety.
Anxiety. It's
So it's still
preparing
good.
before you get that anxiety attack by sleeping well.
And then another one is eating healthy foods and then identifying what triggers you.
How can I eat healthy foods when I go downtown for school and there's all these stands of food that look
God,
delicious?
those Korean dogs, holy shit.
They're overrated though.
So I say I want to focus on like physical activity, yoga, and then whatever else we can talk about. I want to say physical activity, man. That shit is so hard getting like
Getting
first starting.
into, like, I mean, like I said earlier, going to the gym that whole week, I felt the greatest I had ever felt. I'm not even gonna lie about that. But because I worked an overnight, like that following weekend, it messed up my gym schedule for the next week. And then I worked on the weekend again, and then it messed up my gym schedule for this week
Oh,
because I
see.
woke up and I'm like, I'm gonna go to the gym. And then I'm like, I'm too tired.
I know, starting it is horrible because then you're doing it and you absolutely hate it. And then you're like, ain't no way I'm about to do this for the rest of my life. Give up.
It's the soreness that hurts the
It's the
most.
soreness.
'Cause how
I
am I
feel
gonna
like when
start
it.
walking? No tell. I
Exactly.
can't move my legs.
I mean, for me, I don't mind the soreness. I feel like that's just like no pain, no gain. Hashtag gym demon.
I hate the soreness when I have to go broadcast a hockey game and I have this big clunky camera on my shoulder after like a shoulder day. And I can't hold the camera that's 22 pounds because it feels like my arms are gonna fall off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meditation slash yoga. I feel like
Yoga, I can't understand, but meditation, I can.
it's just so hard getting into that mindset, you know? Like
Yeah.
if you're coming into it with like a like, oh, I'm not gonna do this, like I'm not gonna do
Then
this
you're
properly, which
setting
is
yourself up for failure right there.
I'm just saying though, it's really hard to get out of that mindset. So like that in itself is just a task that you gotta
Yeah.
do right before you do meditation. What else? We could do identifying what triggers you. I feel like that is the only one I'm very I'm not gonna say supportive, but I'm
Opened.
yeah, no, I see that's what that's yeah, I'm like that's I find is what resides within me when I find whenever I'm coping with anxiety. Because I think it's because it's very hard to deal with something when you yourself don't have a good idea about, you know, your anxiety, you know. Like you just know it's an anxiety, you know, it's something that needs to go away. I feel like it's very hard to get anything done with that mindset. Like I feel like you really need to understand why this is happening to you. And because yeah, like all these other like techniques, I guess, like, you know, what PubMD gives you,
WebMD.
WebMD, PubMed,
Your
like
go-to for all medical specialists.
they're very general and
Extremely. No one gets into detail into anxiety except for your therapist.
yeah, because I feel like all of these things are meant to kind of make it go away, and I don't think anxiety can just
Go
go away
away.
just like that. I feel like
Yeah.
what happens is your ability to kind of cope with it, that's what improves over time. But if you're just looking at a fucking, sorry, if you're just looking at a web article, looking on things how to cope
Anything,
with
doesn't that
general
make
and
you more anxious reading
yeah,
about
because
anxiety?
I mean, yes, but I feel like doing the things would make me more anxious because if I think my anxiety is still there, I'm like, oh my God, am I not doing this right? Why is it still there? Like I'm gonna have a very like, you know, very black and white approach to it.
Yeah.
Instead, if you kind of identify, you know, I'd say like think about anxiety as almost like this inner part. I sound like a fucking guru. Oh my God.
I
Okay,
think
I'm just gonna
that,
say I'm
honestly, I think that the last few weeks, especially, like, I'm saying the whole semester has been rough. I don't know why. I don't know. Like, first semester, I was okay. I was chilling, except by the end. For some reason, by the end, I like combusted. But this semester, for some reason, I feel like I'm so much more anxious. I'm so much more detached from myself. I'm kind of losing my marbles. And I think it has to do with something, like, you know, I feel like I'm finally starting school. I talked to, like, I went out yesterday with a few people from my class, and we got a drink, and we went out for dinner. Sorry, that was the highlight of my night. But we were talking, and we all agreed that even though, you know, we've been in school for, you know, the whole year, basically. We're almost done.
We are almost done.
But
that's scary.
We're just starting now. Like, I know you started going to school last semester or whatever. You were going in, you know, however many days it was, or like on and off. But for us, we just started this semester. And like all of us started halfway through. So even though we started the semester, it feels like we're finally starting the semester and we only have 6 weeks to get everything done and then we're done. So it feels like
it's only 6 weeks.
Yeah. So the first 6 weeks, what happened with mine? God. The first 6 weeks was it was single cam for many of us. Whoever is in a different class now, and it was online because the single cam class can be taught online. It's not difficult to pick up a phone and start shooting, right? The multicam one, this class that I'm in now, requires
is that like multiple shots.
Okay, so. Single cam is for like movies, TV, and like other films and stuff like that. Like not live TV though. Like I'm talking like Grey's Anatomy or
those types of
shows. Multicam is live productions. So we're talking sports games, what I'm going to do tonight at Rams Live, and like news broadcasts and other live shows that are like live.
Ooh.
Yeah, so like yesterday in class we filmed, and you know, we directed like all this kind of stuff. We had our little groups, whatever. We filmed like a Jimmy Fallon show.
Ooh.
Like that kind of stuff where there's different cameras and it's one take. Ooh. Anyway, it's not just like, so Jimmy Fallon obviously isn't live, right? But it's stop. Arret. Do not do that, because then I'm gonna laugh. And then this is gonna go away. Get away from the mic. Get away. You're gonna make it sound bad. Stop.
I'll be your backtrack. What's it called?
Audio backtrack? You had it. You had it right. Backtrack.
What is it?
Laugh track. Sound effects. You can do all the 12 million voices that are in the audience. No, what was I even saying before I explained what multicam was? I was saying that. Stop!
I'm so loud. I'm so sorry. I'm getting distracted.
You're getting distracted. Pee pee.
Ooh.
Pee pee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come on. Your smells bad. Okay.
What? My pee pee smells bad?
I said sounds bad, and I was not referring to your pee pee.
Okay.
Anyway, as I was saying, there's this new anxiety that comes with going downtown and going to class. Mm. All because we're finally starting Air Bunnies, starting school. So, like, next year, it's going to be 15 times worse. And I feel like when I have this anxiety, I am extremely detached from my emotions and detached from myself because I'm so worked up and focused on everything else. And on top of that, I then overthink everything else.
Kind of puts you into this fight or flight mode. But let's talk about your overthinking.
Put that mic back down on the desk before I smack it out of your hands. My overthinking, it's a wonderful topic. I feel like it's so much worse than average people.
Rich people. You're not like other people.
I'm not. Right. I'm not like any other girl. No, but I feel like my overthinking has always been bad. Because I never really trusted anybody. I never thought that people actually wanted to be friends with me. I never thought you wanted to date me. I never thought that. I still don't think you want to date me sometimes. I don't know. That's how my brain works. And it's not even anything. It's not even anything you did.
What?
It's not even anything you did. Now I might reconsider that after what you just said. Oh, God.
Love you.
I love you, too. But no, my overthinking definitely ties into my anxiety a lot too, I realize. Because as soon as
I'm kind of go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like overthinking. If I could stop overthinking, I would do it in a heartbeat. Because I don't like to overthink. It's not fun. I don't like to second guess how you feel about me based on one simple thing. Like, you could just be off one day. And I'm like, do you still love me? Do you still want to be with me? And I freak out. Or I do something wrong and I'm like, I know you want to break up with me now. You can go.
I feel like a very toxic trait of anxiety, or what makes us do, is to analyze these microaggressions of other people, especially. Because we're so self-conscious about ourselves, we're in terms of how people kind of act around us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we look at, you know, someone blinks an eye at us the wrong way and we're suddenly freaking out.
Yeah. I everything else about anxiety, fine, whatever, I'll take it, but I just don't like doubting you, and I don't like doubting myself, because I'm so confident, like, some of the time. And then the majority, I'm, like, freaking out, and I'm in shambles, and I don't know what to do, and I lose my marbles, quite literally. And all that knowledge of, oh, I know you love me, oh, you treat me well, blah, 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 blah. It's, like, thrown in the trash, and I completely forget it exists.
There was this one thing I saw on TikTok.
Funny.
That helps with being self-conscious and stuff like that. Is to kind of talk to yourself like you were, that you're your own friend. Wait, no, sorry. I saw this from Emma Chamberlain. Oh my God.
It's a podcast. I think you're just addicted to TikTok. So you thought it was from TikTok.
And she made a really good point, is that whenever you're kind of overthinking and very self-conscious and just kind of overall down on yourself, you talk to yourself like you were your own friend. I don't know if this makes sense, but what would your friend say to you in this situation? What would they say to make you feel better? So
you're like, my friend. What would you say to me?
No. You had to think about, like, for example, like, I'll bring it back that quiz analogy. With me having, like, a D on that quiz, and I'm, like, catastrophizing and thinking that, you know, the world's gonna end. I could easily have another part of me acting like my friend. And be all like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. It's just one quiz. You got this. Like, you're gonna get back out there, and you're gonna do so well on the next one. And even then, you tried your best, and that's all that matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what would you... Valerie, what would you say to yourself in these situations?
Well, with the quiz analogy thing, if I were very hard on myself when it comes to grades, I would probably tell myself, this is one out of the millions of quizzes and tests that you're gonna ever take. And just because you got one bad grade does not mean your life is over. And it doesn't mean that all the other quizzes are gonna go poopy pants.
Mm.
So I can easily tell myself that. That's the thing. If I get I got a 72 on a project.
Okay, but Val, I'm talking about your overthinking.
Okay, fine. We'll go back to me in my analogy, on my side of it. Whenever I feel like...
Therapy.
Whenever I feel like, you know, you get, if you or I are in this mood, or I feel like I'm not up to, like, some standard that I put on myself when it comes to being in a relationship and being a good girlfriend, it's a lot harder to tell myself that, oh, everything's, like, you know, okay, just because you guys are having an off day doesn't mean, like, you know, she doesn't love you anymore, like, you're fine, like, everything's gonna be okay, it's just a bad day. It's a lot harder to tell myself that because I don't believe it as well as I believe, oh, the grades will be fine. That's just how it happens. And it's so annoying. It's so annoying. Because I want to be able to trust myself with that kind of emotion. But when it's so hard like that, that I don't believe myself, I don't believe other people, like, I'm toxic to myself. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix that. I don't know how to tell myself differently. Because my brain won't listen.
It's like talking to a stranger, right?
Basically. But, like, I remember when we first started dating and I would, like, overthink. I would be able to talk myself down in, like, not in the beginning, but, like, right after. So, like, when you would go places and, like, forget to tell me, you know, where you went, and I would get worried, and then I'd get mad for no reason. Before, I would just be, like, really condescending, I'd be really petty, I'd be very manipulative, I would be very, you know, like, so, where are you at? Where'd you go, huh? And, like, I would already know where you were because, I don't know, I'd see it on somebody's story, and I would get so petty about it. But later on, when you wouldn't text me and I'd find out, I'd be like, you know what? She just forgot to text me. It's no big deal. She's safe with whoever she's with, and it's fine. Perfect example of how to talk to yourself. But now, I cannot convince myself that, you know, you're not going to just up and leave me or that kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't know any good examples. But it's just, it's really hard. It's hard because I love you so much. And I know that you love me. And I don't like to doubt it. Because it hurts when I doubt it. Why would I want to doubt something that brings me so much happiness?
My dog came in the room.
Doggy! I love Felix!
With going on with what you said, I thought one thing we can also talk about is kind of that isolating factor, that kind of anxiety does to a lot of people.
I'm not gonna lie to you, we already hit 15 minutes on the live stream. Sorry, 35 minutes on the live stream.
Okay.
So
can I say one more thing though?
Well, yeah, we gotta wrap it up. This is the wrap up part.
Okay, this is the wrapping up part. This is the final part. And anxiety can really make you feel alone sometimes, especially when the deeper that you kind of, you know, submit yourself into these thoughts, the more isolated you get from other people, because now the only things around you seem like these, like, debilitating worries and all these other voices telling you that, you know, you're not good enough, you know, things are gonna work out well. And then when you surround yourself in those thoughts, it kind of almost creates this barrier around, like, any other, like, real life people. And I feel like that's why it can really make you feel kind of alone, because you're having, you know, like, 13 different conversations in your head, and you can barely keep up with the one that's happening in real life. So you kind of just get overwhelmed, and you kind of just slide back into those thoughts, and, you know,
you kind of isolate yourself without trying.
Right. Yeah. And, like, it's not even like, you know, like, you're actively, you know, deleting social media and you're like darkness and whatever. Like, you can really be in, you know, a group of people and just, you know, just, like, zone out, because, you know, you're distracted by all these, you know, thoughts and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I just wish there was an easier way to kind of deal with it, because I don't want to feel like this all the time. I think it's worse when I'm stressed, because there are a million different voices just for being stressed alone. And then it's, you know, harder to shut out the anxiety part of it, so then there's more voices on top of it.
I mean, yeah, but, like, think about it, like, say you take a kid, for example, and he's in a grocery store, and he's telling to his mom, hey, can I have this? Can I have this? And we don't listen to him the first time. Like, what's he gonna do, right?
He's gonna cry and kick and scream for the chocolate.
Right, he's gonna get louder, and he's gonna get to the point where he's ear-piercing, which is why I don't want to have kids in the first, whatever.
Fair enough.
I feel like when we're so quick to dismiss our anxieties, it doesn't go away. It just gets louder and kind of perpetuates and literally then becomes so loud and stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, if we go
along... Wait, sorry. I had a point for this. So it's really important, I think, that when you have these anxieties, you try to listen. And you understand where they're coming from.
You try to listen to them, and you try to see where they're coming from.
Because I feel like anxiety can almost be a whole separate part within your whole, like, within your mental state, you know? And if you treat it as a kind of like an individual, that sounds very, like, cuckoo nuts, but, you know.
Anyways, it's time to wrap up.
I was gonna finish my thought.
It's time to wrap up, because...
Okay, can I just say one more?
Oh.
Okay, one more thing.
Yes.
When you treat your anxiety like a separate part, right, it kind of makes it easier for you to listen to it, you know? It kind of almost has that internal conversation with you in that part. And then you can try and understand it better. And then if it's a fucking kid crying in a kinder store, if you give it the attention it deserves, maybe it will calm down.
Yes. This has been the third Super Loner podcast with dealing with anxiety. Okay, guys, thanks so much for listening. And if you are actually listening to the podcast, I appreciate it. I'm sure Lana does too. This episode, I feel like, was more like therapy than the other two episodes.
Yeah.
But sometimes all you gotta do is listen to other people have that kind of conversation, and it might help. So I hope this helped you. I'm Val, your favorite super loner.
Shut up. I'm Val. I'm not Val. I'm Alana. Your superior super loner.
She changes every time. But yes, thank you guys so much for listening. And I hope everyone has a great rest of their day. Adios.
And then let those inner demons control you. Hashtag be yourself.
Girl boss.
Girl boss.
Girl boss. Okay.
Okay.
Off we go.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.